Chapter 2, Tea with Ada and Minna Everlay. Victoria was more than a little surprised that her invitation for tea was in the Levee, a neighborhood known as the center of prostitution in Chicago. Her first instinct was to ignore the invitation completely. However, she could not get over the fact that the Everlay sisters had such impeccable etiquette and seemed so prim and proper. Their southern accent was most charming, and for days she heard Minna's words repeat over and over in her head.
Victoria Pearl, a refined, intelligent woman with beauty like yours can become quite wealthy.
Curiosity and a sense of adventure got the best of her, and now she found herself in a place she had never been before, the Levee District of Chicago. The cab left Victoria standing in front of the two mansions at 2131 Dearborn Street. She was smartly dressed and her hair was pinned up neatly beneath a modest-sized hat decorated with dark purple and green flowers. It was a glorious autumn day, and the trees were beginning to lose their leaves after weeks of displaying their brilliant colors. Victoria was 15 minutes early for her appointment and decided to wait outside until it was appropriate to approach the door. Her mother always told her it was rude to arrive early to a lady's invitation.
You never know what last-minute preparations might be made.
The Everlay sisters said 4 o'clock, so 4 o'clock it would be. Just then, Victoria saw a woman in one of the windows. The curtain moved to the side. It looked like Minna. A minute later, a friendly black woman wearing domestic clothes and a crisp white apron appeared at the top of the steps of the mansion.
Miss Minna said for you to come in, Miss Victoria.
Thank you. How did you know my name?
The ladies are expecting you, ma'am. Looking forward to it.
What is your name?
My name is Mosella, ma'am. Just follow me and I'll show you where to go.
Victoria found herself walking down the most exquisite hallway she had ever seen. On her left, she saw a small brick fireplace with Italian ceramic vases on each side. There were two colorful oriental rugs on the floor, and the paneling on the walls was made of dark mahogany. On her right was a large mirror. Victoria looked at her reflection and stopped for a moment to straighten her hat. What have you gotten yourself into, young lady? She asked the young woman in the mirror. These were the same words her mother had said when Victoria did anything out of character.
What have you gotten yourself into, young lady?
Mosella led Victoria into a beautiful room where an elegant table with fine china was set for tea.
Miss Minna and Miss Ada will be with you shortly, Miss Victoria. May I take your jacket?
Yes, thank you, Mosella. This is a lovely room.
Make yourself comfortable. You can sit over here.
At exactly 4 o'clock, Minna and Ada, well-dressed, wearing an excess of diamonds and pearls, presented themselves. Both women were wearing an exquisite diamond brooch, shaped like a butterfly. They seemed sincerely happy to see Victoria again.
Welcome, Victoria. Thank you for coming. Ada and I are delighted you are here. Please sit down, dear.
Minna had a genuine big smile, and although her sister was also smiling, Ada seemed a little more reserved.
That will be all for now, Mosella. Thank you kindly, dear.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell us about yourself, Victoria.
There is really not much to tell. I grew up about 40 miles from here in Aurora. My parents were Irish immigrants who met on the boat that brought them to America. They fell in love and were married within a week after they set shore. Mother died of pneumonia a few years ago, and my father passed away soon afterward. When my father died, I became depressed and decided to come to Chicago. Mother brought me here often, and I fell in love with the city. Now I am a librarian and live in a boarding house full of women.
Why did you choose to be a librarian?
I love to read. I love the way books can take me to places and times I have never been before. Sometimes when I read, I feel like I'm experiencing another life.
What kinds of books do you like, Victoria?
I mostly enjoy historic adventure and some romantic novels, but as far as authors, I love to read Charles Dickens. He can make my senses come alive with his descriptions and make a story so real, I forget it is only just a book. There are some books I wish would never end.
You sound like a passionate woman.
Minna decided it was time to address the purpose of the meeting.
Victoria, I am sure that by now you understand the nature of our business. It is our intention to open and operate the finest parlor in America. To do this, we are looking for poised, intelligent, lovely ladies like you.
I am flattered. If you do not mind me saying so, I would never guess you and your sister are involved in this kind of profession. May I ask what made you decide to start a business of this kind?
Quite simply, my dear, we like nice things.
Our father made sure we attended the finest finishing schools in Kentucky. My sister Ada and I were married to brothers from a good family, at least we thought, with the last name Lester. Just about every evening, including our wedding night, my husband put his hands around my throat and said, "This is to remind you who is in charge." And then he forced me to agree that women are a pain in the neck.
Grimacing, Minna delicately touched her throat. When she did, Ada gently reached over and patted her sister's hand.
When I heard Minna had left her husband, I joined her. I, too, had become discouraged with love and did not adhere to the philosophy, "You've made your bed, now lie in it." We joined a theater company and went to Omaha, Nebraska. It was the last year the Trans-Mississippi and International Exposition was being held in the city. We were snubbed by the socialites there. One night, one of the girls made the comment, "Please don't tell my mother I work in the theater. She thinks I work in a brothel." It was meant as a joke, but from that one statement, Minna came up with the idea that we should start a business to entertain the wealthy men visiting town. We thought if the wives won't accept us, their husbands certainly would. Minna and I learned quickly that there is a very high profit when sexual services are presented with high class and style. We started with an investment of $35,000 from personal assets we had acquired. Within a few months, we doubled our money. When the exposition was over, my sister and I went on a quest to find an appropriate location to execute what we had learned in Nebraska.
After visiting several cities, we went to Washington, D.C., where we met a madam by the name of Cleo Maitland. Cleo told us she had heard Effie Hankins was considering retirement and had a place known as the House of Mirrors in the Levee District of Chicago. We came to Chicago and bought her business. Our standards are quite high. We are basically starting over with new girls and staff.
Mozella was with us in Nebraska. She was working as our housekeeper, and Minna and I fell in love with her. We insisted she come to Chicago and work for us here. Mozella had moved to Omaha from New Orleans. She has some great stories about that place.
Victoria was completely captivated. She was being introduced to a new world she knew absolutely nothing about. It was Minna's turn again.
My instincts are quite good, Victoria. And when I saw you reading Wuthering Heights, I took it as a sign. Although I usually prefer books on philosophy, Wuthering Heights happens to be one of my favorite stories. You are quite lovely. In fact, strikingly so. Ada and I are looking for girls with certain qualities to work for us. They must be beautiful as well as intelligent and have superior communication skills. We called our girls butterflies in Nebraska. Just like a butterfly, we see our girls as delicate creatures that dance from flower to flower.
Victoria's head was spinning. She could feel many kinds of different emotions running up and down her spine. She had always thought that the ladies of the evening were the dregs of society, but the Everleigh sisters were painting quite a different picture.
We will be paying our girls $100 a week. You will live at the Everleigh Club, and we will provide healthy meals for you. Our clientele will be only wealthy gentlemen. Therefore, our standards are very high. The men will be paying a high price, but in return, they will have the classiest, most beautiful women in Chicago. Your job will be to be a lady and become a love goddess, a kind of fantasy girl. We will take care of everything else.
Victoria looked around the room. She had never been surrounded with such elegance. It was a lifestyle she had never known before. Victoria liked Minna and Ada. Somehow she knew she would never have an opportunity quite like this again. For a few moments, Victoria did not know what to say. Finally, she spoke. "It all seems interesting, but honestly, I have never considered this type of employment before."
"We plan to open the 1st of February. Right now, we are renovating, painting, and interviewing musicians, domestics, chefs, and of course, lovely young ladies. We would like to invite you to move into the mansion close to Christmas. It will be a good time for us to bond and an opportunity for our butterflies to become friends. Every day, we will be holding lessons on charm and etiquette. It is mandatory that our girls have impeccable manners."
"The money and elaborate lifestyle sound wonderful. If you do not mind, I would like a few days to think about it."
"Are you a virgin, my dear?"
"No. No, no, I am not."
"There, there, dear. It will be all right. We will look after you."
Victoria had never shared her secret before. She had told Father Anthony in confession, and he told her to pray for forgiveness. Besides him, only Ian knew the truth, and Lord knows whatever happened to him.
"Normally, we insist our butterflies have experience. However, when we saw you reading, Minna and I both agreed you are a good candidate for the job. Call it instinct. You are quite lovely, Victoria. Minna and I have been interviewing girls for weeks, and already we have quite a waiting list. We are extremely selective with our young women."
It was 4:45. Darkness was quickly falling onto the levee.
"We have called you a cab, my dear. A lady like you is not safe on the levee after dark."
Mosella was at the doorway holding Victoria's jacket.
"Your cab is here, Miss Victoria."
Victoria stood up and hugged both sisters. "Goodbye, dear ladies. Somehow I feel better than I did before I walked into the Everleigh Club."
"Goodbye, Victoria. Please get back to us as soon as you can, one way or the other."
"Goodbye, Victoria."
Mosella helped Victoria with her jacket. "Thank you kindly, Mosella." As she walked down the hallway toward the door, again Victoria looked at her reflection in the mirror. Sharing the burden of her past had eased the painful guilt from her heart. Victoria's secret was out and spoken in an environment where there was no judgment for what she had done. For this, she felt free and even empowered. Victoria straightened her hat and smiled at the familiar, yet somehow different woman looking back at her. "You can do anything you want, Victoria. You are Victorious Victoria."
"Victorious Victoria wins again."
"Thank you, Mama. I am going to be wealthy. I am going to be a fine lady." "Goodbye, Mosella. I will be seeing you soon."
"Goodbye, Miss Victoria. I'll be happy to see you again."
Mosella watched from the top of the porch until she saw Victoria safely ride away.